the word soul itself. When we use the word soul, what exactly do we normally mean? Soul really means the stuff of which a thing is made. When we say this is the soul of an institution, the soul of the home, the soul of life, what we mean is that it is that without which the thing concerned could not have been made. It is the real stuff of which the thing is made. So when we say that we want to concern ourselves with the soul, what we are meaning is that that which is the real stuff, without which we cannot be what we are. Now this word soul is used loosely by many people in many circumstances, many contexts. And that is why there is a great deal of confusion on this subject. So apart from this definition that I have given you, we shall deal with some of these confusions which are in this world about this subject. The word soul is sometimes used for anything that is abstract, something that is ethereal, something that is intangible, something that is not capable of being seized upon, something that escapes us, something that seems to be lying above us. Now, these words also are not entirely inapplicable to the real soul, but they do not indicate exactly what the soul is. First of all, the soul is not really intangible as many people believe it to be. Soul is not abstract. Soul is not something that cannot be seized, that cannot be grasped. To talk in positive terms, soul is concrete. In fact, in our experience, when soul is experienced, you feel that even the solidity of this substance is not so solid as that one. When you really experience a soul, its concreteness is so great. Therefore, the ordinary idea that the soul is abstract is fundamentally not correct. It is abstract only in the sense that in our ordinary life, we take only material substance to be solid and everything else to be abstract. But actually speaking, this matter is less concrete than the soul itself. When you really experience it, you feel solidity and the stuff of it to be so powerful that it will be even much more solid than a heavy pillar of steel. That much is the solidity of the soul. It is true that it is above all that we know at present. But it is also in everything that we know. It is above, but it is also in everything that we know. It is as if like milk which is mixed with water. So that milk is present in everything that is there, even in water that is there, milk is present. So the soul is present in everything, in the body, in our movements, in our thoughts, in our feelings, emotions, impulses, predilections, preferences, attractions. In everything it is present. Because actually it is the stuff of which all this is made. So it is bound to be present everywhere. Now there is another idea of the soul which is conceived in the terms of a ghost. Very often people speak of soul as spirit, and people say that when man dies, then a spirit goes on moving about in the house, in the surroundings, and sometimes can be seen also by some people, and they call it a ghost. In fact, there is a great play of Shakespeare called Hamlet, perhaps you might have seen. And the very first scene of Hamlet starts with the ghost. The story was that Hamlet was studying in a big university. He was a very bright and brilliant student. And suddenly he's called back home because his father is dead. And everything is gloomy when he returns to Denmark. He's the Prince of Denmark. And the entire play begins with the castle in the night, where Hamlet is waiting for his friend's arrival. And there is hush. And the first one to arrive is Horatio, his friend. And when he enters the castle, he asks, "Is there anything?" He said, "Not even a rat." Just to indicate that everything is so quiet, so much in hush. And then they discuss what Hamlet claims to have seen previously, namely the ghost of his father. And then they dispute the existence of the ghost. And while the disputation goes on, suddenly the ghost appears before Hamlet. And Hamlet says, "Look, look, he beckons me. Nobody else can see, only he sees." And Horatio is horrified. But Hamlet moves behind the ghost because the ghost is beckoning him. And then he disappears from the scene. And then meet the ghost alone. "Good morning, Matia. Very fine." So he talks to the ghost, and the ghost tells him that he was murdered by his uncle, in which his own mother conspired. This is a horrible story that he hears from the ghost. A murder of the father in which the uncle himself was the murderer, and in which his own mother, that is the wife of the king, had conspired. And he is unable to believe it. But the father says, "Don't you see that your mother immediately married your uncle after my death?" And gives a proof, as it were, of something that had happened. Now Hamlet's entire tragedy hangs upon this story of the ghost. Ghost revealing to Hamlet a story which he cannot bear. He had such a great regard for his mother. He himself was a man of great morality and moral standards, in which loyalty, faithfulness, sincerity played the highest role in his life. He could never believe that his own mother could conspire to kill her own husband, who was such a great man. And this man, his uncle, was not even 1/100th of what his father was. So how could his mother put so low? It was impossible for him to believe it. At the same time, the ghost was telling him a story, and then the ghost tells him, "Take revenge." This is the special kind of mission that is given by ghost to Hamlet. The question before Hamlet was whether to believe in the ghost or not. Who knows what is the truth of the story? So Shakespeare has given a very vivid description of the interplay between man living man and the dead man, and how the dead man, through his ghostly appearance, influences the life of the whole of Denmark. In fact, ultimately, the entire play shows how the doubt in the mind of Hamlet plays havoc with himself, plays havoc with his own beloved Ophelia. Ophelia was the one in whom he had complete confidence, and they were to be married. They were madly in love with each other. Unfortunately, the father of Ophelia, Polonius, was the chief advisor of the king, and he was a worldly wise man. And the constant advice that he was giving to his daughter was, look, he is the prince and you are only a courtier's daughter. There is no comparison. Princes use you for fun and frolic, and you will go nowhere in life if you remain in this affair. So withdraw from it. And she is motherless, so she has nobody to turn to for advice. Now, when Hamlet is shattered by the doubt in his mind because of the ghost revelation, he begins to wonder, what is woman? Can woman be like this? And begins to doubt even Ophelia, that if his mother can be like this, can Ophelia be faithful? And this is his basic question in his life. Unfortunately, exactly at this time, the father advises Ophelia not to respond to Hamlet. So although she wanted to respond to him with all her heart, whenever Hamlet appears before her, she tries to withdraw. And that shatters him further. Ultimately, he has a chance once to speak to his own mother and ask her this question. So mother, of course, does not reply and asks her son to be absolutely quiet and calm and all that. But he says, I cannot be. At the same time, he does not believe in ghosts because he's a great philosopher himself, man of great thought. So to believe or not to believe, that was the question. As a result of which, his famous soliloquy, to be or not to be, that is the question. That was his basic thing. That if this is all that life presents to us, why should we exist in this world? So he wants to commit suicide himself. And the only one thought which prevents him was that who knows after death what happens to man? Maybe that I make an exit from this life and this trouble. But perchance a dream, but the dream may be terrible after this death. So the only thing that prevents him from committing suicide was this. See, ultimately he does not commit suicide. The ghost appears again before him and says, remember, remember, remember. So again he stirred up. And he wonders what is to be done. In a fit of anger one day, he kills Ophelia's father. Simply because he finds that this is the man, a crooked man, who constantly prevents Ophelia from coming to him. And also maybe that he's a crooked man also partner in the plot. Who knows? So in a fit of anger, he kills him. That affects both Ophelia and her brother, Laertes. And Laertes comes down from outside because of the death of his father and now regards Hamlet to be his enemy number one because he's the murderer of his father. So the situation becomes more complicated. Then, in the state of doubt, since he cannot remain any longer, he feels that he must do something to find out the truth. So what does he do? He pretends that he has become mad and speaks words which mean nothing outwardly and yet mean quite a lot. For example, once he meets his uncle and he smiles. The uncle smiles. And he says that one smiles and smiles and yet you never repeat. So these are his famous words in fact. And the king is shaken by these pronouncements. Because although he speaks like a madman, the message goes home. And he wonders what has happened to Hamlet. He can't banish him because he was the prince actually. And his mother really loved him even then. Because although mother had betrayed her husband, she was very much attached to her own son. So he could not banish Hamlet from the kingdom. So he had to suffer him. But because of the conflict in his mind, ultimately he invites a friend of his who is the leader of a troupe of drama and says, I'll tell you one story. You stage the story, invite the king and queen to attend, and then let us see the reaction of the king and the queen to the story. And the story was a repetition of the plot in which the elderly king is conspired against by his younger brother and his own wife. And they put poison into the ears when the king is asleep. Then through the ears the poison is administered. And when this is done, both the queen and king are affected adversely. It is at that time that Hamlet becomes sure that the story of the ghost is not untrue. And then of course he kills the king, his uncle. The mother faints and dies. And then Ophelia's brother, Laertes, at that time comes on the scene because he's the enemy of it. He kills him and Hamlet kills Laertes. Ophelia dies because she becomes mad because she doesn't get any support from anyone. So she drowns herself. So it's an overall tragedy entirely. The whole story is told by Shakespeare to point out that in human life, the role that can be played by doubt is horrible. And one can lead to overall tragedy unless one becomes very clear, particularly about the inner realities of life. Men live basically on the outer surface, but there are many inner realities like the ghost, for example. Now, whether to believe in ghost or not, ultimately he came to realize that the ghost was telling him the truth. In any case, the important message of this whole drama was that there are invisible realities which do play a role in life. But very often these ghosts are regarded to be the soul of man who comes out of the body and wanders about. But there is, truly speaking, a great distinction between the ghost of this kind and the true soul. So this is the knowledge which India possesses.